Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
So today's teaching is going to be a teaching on prayer. Three parts to prayer. It's just my take on prayer. Well, it's really the Bible's take on prayer, and I'll just break it down, but nothing big. But I just wanted to we want to touch on prayer today and just give you guys some practical steps on how to prepare prayer, because prayer is important. It's one of the things that we need in order to engage with God. Without prayer, we wither away, right? It's one of the ways we engage. So the main verse today is going to be John 15, verse 7. And that says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you." It rhymes. It rhymes. We had a moment where Noah started rapping this. And it was really funny. It was funny. But okay, so let me see. So I'm going to have 3 points for you guys today. That's what I usually do. I might switch it up on you guys some other time, but not today. The point number one is prayer is intentional. And what the verse we have for that point today is Genesis verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 8. "From there, he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord." So prayer is intentional. Right here we see that Abram, God sends him, like prior to that, God, tells him, hey, he gives him his word. He tells him what to do. He gives him instruction. And that's what Abram does. He receives an instruction and he follows what God tells him to do. And not only that, but now we see that he builds an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord. To build an altar is intentionality. Just to build an altar, it was a place where people would offer sacrifices to God, and the people would also worship other gods. Not in this context, right? But right here, Abraham is just to God, Yahweh. But not to any other gods, but other neighboring countries and other neighboring people would offer sacrifices on these altars to other gods as well. An altar is just a place where you would prepare, you would offer an offering so that you could connect with God, basically, right? Abram is doing that. And we see that that takes time. That is no easy task. That is something that it is intentional. He is doing out of because he wants to be with God. He wants to prepare a place for God. Now, I want us to picture this. I know we all have been, we all had one-on-one situations or talks with people, right? How much more special it is when somebody invites us to talk, right? We see a friend, an old friend, and he's like, "Hey, let's talk, man. Let's catch up. I haven't seen you in a long time. Let's go. I'll send you a text where to meet me," right? And then you get to a place, it's a nice location. Maybe it's a nice little coffee shop or at the park, right? Just something cool, like you're outdoors, whatever. But just the fact that they made the time and the effort to set a place and maybe even decorate a place, whatever it is, and like just to have you there with them to have a conversation, that speaks intentionality. And that's what Abram is doing here, right? When he's building the altar. And in the same way, we are supposed to also do the same thing. When I'm talking about being intentional in our context for us, right, we're not going to go build an altar. Nowadays, we don't do that. But it looks like in the way of just assigning a time, a designated time and a designated place. Some people have prayer closets. Some people have a designated place where they just go pray, wherever that may be. Maybe you have one yourself. And then you also may have a time that you like to meet with God every day. That is intentionality. And yes, I hear people, many people always say, well, you don't need to do that. You could talk to God whenever. And yes, that's true. We could talk to God whenever, and we should talk to God at all time, right? The Bible says, pray without ceasing. So we should always be praying in constant communication with God. But I think there's something special when we connect with God, when we have a place that we prepare for God in order so that we could receive his presence. I think that really, really shows God that we love him and we care about him and we want to connect with him in a deep level. And that just shows intentionality. And that's what we see here on this. So going back to the main point, right? Because it's keep the main thing, the main thing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that speaks intentionality. To remain in Christ means that we are following his ways. We are studying his words. And the second part is my words remain in you. It's to study his word. I know Noah talked about this last week. It's just to study the word, to obtain it in your heart, and to just live it out as well, and to try to keep it and just live according to his will. Through his word, right? That is intentionality. We're not people that are just sent. God doesn't just say, hey, accept me. And he doesn't send us without his word, right? We have a word of God. We have the word. We have instruction. We have direction. We have a future. We have a purpose in God's word. Like, we're not just believing and that's it. Like, we're left believing and, okay, well, God is going to come someday. Let me go do whatever I want. No. Intentionality. He was intentional enough to have this book, have this word of God for us. We got to be intentional as well to read it, keep it in our hearts, and also prepare a place so that we could connect with them. All right. So point number two, different types of prayers. Again, guys, I just want to keep it very practical today. Three different, the Bible verse for that is Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. In the same way, I'm going to give you guys three different types of prayers, and then maybe you guys have experienced it. Maybe there's some that you're like, oh, I don't know about that. I never grew up believing that. Okay, well, the Bible talks about it, so we'll just talk about it a little bit more here. So Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's an awesome scripture right there. So to me, some of you guys might be like, okay, prayer to me is just talking to God. Yes, that's going to be the second point. But the first point is this one, because this one, I don't believe a lot of people understand that when we are in a place of pain, when we're in a place of hurt, and sometimes we don't even have the words to say to God, to connect with God, our spirit does it, or his spirit does it in us. It's just the groaning of our spirit, the hurt, the pain that our heart is making. Like, it is, that itself is connecting to God. The word of God says that God is near the brokenhearted. Sometimes the brokenhearted cannot say a word, but we could definitely cry, right? So I believe that is just one way that our spirit prays for us as we, that's one right there. The second one is through just communication, through verbal communication, right? Just like I'm talking to you right now. You know, that's the one that it's the most common way we all pray. It's really great. You know, just have a conversation with God, you know, give him praise, give him adoration, you know, ask for whatever you need, and then just continue to just praise him and just worship him through our words, right? And I think that one everybody understands, right? I know maybe someone in here is new and you never prayed before. I've had people who say, I don't know how to pray, Matt. How do I pray? You know, maybe you've come or you've came from a Catholic background where they have specific prayers already made for you in order for you to grab it. That's cool. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with the specific prayer. I mean, I do that in my devotionals, right? Like when I do devotionals on my phone, there's sometimes specific prayers that are written down for me to just say out loud. That's great. That's awesome. But it's so much cooler when we get to actually just speak from the heart, just like a friend. Just communicate to God like a friend. Like, hey, Lord, I am feeling this way. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling mad. I'm feeling defeated. I'm feeling hurt. But Lord, you, I know I can trust you. You see, like it flows more organically. It's not so robotic. The other stuff is really cool because actually, I kind of recommend to people to do something similar when they're in a rut and they can't pray. So we've all been through that season, right? Where it's hard to pray. We don't know what to say. So in that case, what I recommend to people do is open up the book of Psalms and just read out the book of Psalms out loud. Let that word come inside your heart and let it just start flowing out of you as well. I heard once somebody say to me that if you want to have an effective prayer, you got to get the word of God inside of you. And that is so true because the more we read the word of God, the more we know what to ask for, right? Again, going back to the verse, the main verse that we have in John 15, 7. And that's the second part that I'm going to get to later, actually. So the third way of prayer is through tongues. This one's a bit controversial. It depends on how you grew up and what church denomination that you grew up in. But the Bible talks about it. It's not like the Bible doesn't talk about it. It's tongues. It's when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, it says here, but the Bible says, for anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, and they utter mysteries by the Spirit. It's very clear. Like, honestly, I don't know if you've heard somebody engaging in tongues, and sometimes you're just like, whoa, what are they saying? That is very clear. That's what the Bible is saying. Nobody understands them. I speak in tongues, and I don't even understand myself what I'm saying. But sometimes I just find myself engaging in times with God, and that is to edify. Paul says is to edify our spirit and to edify the church. Tongues, when we speak in tongues, it does something within our spirit. It activates something in our spirit, and it just connects us. It just does something. I don't even know how to explain it. I don't even know what it really is, but it's just a communication from our spirit to God that not even us sometimes. I mean, it does. The Bible does talk about in a gift of interpretation, and if you have that, great. So yes, tongues is a gift, actually. I just want to hit on that. It's a gift, and if you are willing, ask for it. God will give you this gift. Sometimes it takes a while to receive, and sometimes it's quick. It's different for everybody. I also want to emphasize, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not less of a Christian. You're not less spiritual. It's not that you're sinning so much or anything like that. No, it's just different for everybody on their journey on how to get there to speaking in tongues. So those are three ways of prayer that we see in the Word of God. Great. And then part number three is listening is part of prayer, guys. Prayer is not just speaking and talking and talking and talking and then just like head out. We're not going to just talk, talk, talk and head out. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's awesome. My sheep hears my voice. I know them and they follow me. So how do we listen to God effectively? Honestly, number one way is to remove all distractions. Remove all distractions. You know, I mean, it could be different for anybody. It could be a distraction of overworking. Maybe nothing wrong with work. You got to work. But if it's getting to a point where you can't even pray because you have too much. I know that happened to me not too long ago. I had two jobs and it was just messing me up spiritually. And I mean, yeah, it's just, I'm not gonna get too much details, but yes, it that was messing me up. But so there, you know, remove distractions. It could be TV, it could be music, the certain music you're listening to, it could be whatever it is. You know, you probably already know what your distraction is that is keeping you away from hearing God's voice. And another thing that could be is just impatience. That is something I struggle with. Like, I ask God of things, and then I want a response like right there and then. And then if I don't get it right there and then, I start getting all anxious and just feeling like he's not hearing me. And sometimes he will respond in due time. We just got to be patient, and we got to keep reading his word, because he also responds through his word, right? So going back to John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want. The ask part right there is the second point that we were just talking. There's different ways of asking, right? There's different ways of connecting with God and engaging with God, right? Calling on his name, like we read on the first point with Abram, that he called on the name of God, right? And then it says, whatever you want, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. And honestly, at first glance, we could read that and we could get so excited and be like, well, God is going to give me $1 million. He's going to give me a brand new car. He's going to give me a new house. That is not what he's saying on that verse. We got to read it correctly, right? If we remain in him, notice where everything is placed. It's not everything will be given to us if we remain. It's first, if we remain in him and his words remain in us, that is connecting with God through prayer. It's connecting with him and his spirit. And through connection in him, we become more like him. And the more we become like him, the more we know how to ask like him. And the more we ask like him, the more we will receive from him. So we will be connected and aligned with his will. Sometimes the things we ask for, it could either be it's just not the time, or it could be it's not his will. And we got to be okay with that. If we want to be people that truly desire God, it's being okay that, Lord, whatever you have to say about this, whatever you say, whether it's a yes or no, maybe a later, just the fact that I get to hear from you is more than enough. The fact that I get to be in relationship with you is more than enough. That should be our heart posture towards prayer. It's not saying that we shouldn't want to receive or that we shouldn't want to ask. We can ask for all this stuff. Great, right? Great. Cool. Not saying to not ask. Ask and you shall receive, right? But sometimes we are distracted by what we want. That could be a distraction also. But when we connect with God, we don't ask for what we want. We ask for what we need. That is the difference. And what we need is his presence. What we need is his word. What we need is things that will bring us closer to him, but also serve for the purposes to serve his kingdom and the people that we are called to serve. So to wrap things up, I want to share with you the gospel presentation. And this Holy Week, this is Easter week. Sunday is going to be Easter Sunday. And what an awesome time to actually take this lesson of prayer and put it into a practical sense. If you are looking to recommit your life to Jesus or give your life to Jesus for the first time, there's an act of faith. First, we'll see it right now. But do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? The word says on Isaiah 53, chapter 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And that verse is saying that God took on the weight of the sin of the world, of all generations, not just one generation, all generation, every single human being. Can you imagine that? I can't even bear my own crud that I carry around sometimes when I'm feeling defeated and I haven't given it to Christ yet. It's hard for me to even carry my own weight of guilt and shame at times when, again, when I haven't given it to Christ Jesus, right? Can you imagine taking the whole weight of all the sin on yourself and bearing that? I don't think we can. We cannot imagine that. But he did. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And this is talking that because we are sinners, because we were born into sin, we deserve death. But God offers a way out through his son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for all humanity. And that is Easter. That is the message of Easter. That us, it's not about a bunny. It's not about eggs. If you celebrate that way, cool. We're not here to bash you on collecting eggs, you know, but there's more to it than eggs and an Easter bunny. It's about our salvation. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus coming to earth. The word says that he's the word made flesh, that he was made flesh, and that he came and gave his life for us. So I want to share with you guys a little, just a little picture here. We see here on the left side, inside the circle, wages, sin, death. That's humanity. When we sinned, there was a gap between God and us. And we'll see that right here. You see on the right side, the gift of God, eternal life. That division was caused because of Adam and Eve and their disobedience. And every human being got infected with that sinful disease that we all have carried, right? And that has separated us from God. But Jesus, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because he died and gave his life, because he shed his blood for you and I, his precious blood that cleanses us from all our sin. Like we just listened to a song right now that talked about that. Because of that, he bridged the gap between the Father and us, between eternal life and us. So because of what he did, he didn't deserve it, but he did it for us. We don't get what we deserve. So now we get the awesome opportunity to cross the bridge through Jesus Christ, but we could only do that through confessing him and believing in our heart that he died on the cross. So if that's you today, if you're saying, hey, this is my first time, I've never given my life to Jesus, but I believe, I just heard this gospel presentation. I'm hearing people talk about it all over my city because Easter is near. And I'm hearing just Jesus and the gospel being preached everywhere and what Jesus did, you know, throughout this whole week, right? And I believe, now I just want to confess him as my Lord and Savior, right? We want to confess him. That is the prayer part. That is the confession part. So if that's you, you never said it before, we'll say it here. And if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, we'll just say, if you've never given your life to Jesus and you want to say this, here we go. We'll say it together. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything I have is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.